are glad that you joined us today. God wants to do so much for you and through you, and we want to hear about it. If you've been impacted by Fuel Church, share your story with us by emailing mystory@thefuelchurch.com. And to learn more about our worship experiences, visit our website at www.thefuelchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
One more time. The local church is the hope of the world. It's the expression of God's love and grace here on earth. How will they know if we do not provide a house for them to hear the good news of the gospel? Someone say it's good news. It's good news that I didn't have to hang on a cross for my sins, that somebody already paid the penalty for me to be free. That's good news, that I don't have to stay bound by sin, chained up, that I can be set free. It's good news when I don't have to live depressed and oppressed every day of my life, but I can live in the joy of the Lord that is my strength. I came to preach today. Are you ready to hear it? I got a little wild in the first service. We'll see what happens here. You guys are my wild bunch, you know that? The 11, y'all set loose, man. Y'all set this place loose. But I'm so excited to talk to you today about a heart for God's house. I want to start in our reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5 through 7. Look at this. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it." So David made extensive preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 7, David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God." I love this, what David is teaching his son Solomon. As David is getting ready to leave earth, he's getting ready to die here, and he gives him some last instructions. And he tells his son Solomon, "Hey, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God." Someone say, a heart for the house. I love this about David, because his heart for the house was passed down to the next generation. It was generational. He at one point was making preparations, we see, but he knew his son wasn't ready to lead God's house. But he said, "One day my son is gonna be ready to build this house, and I gotta prepare him to take on the responsibilities of the house of the Lord." And that is what Fuel Church is all about. We're all about reaching the next generation. See, we don't believe that your children or your young people, your teenagers, are the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. We're a generational church. And so we have multi-generations worshiping here. Some of you just come to this church because your kids love it. It's not really your cup of tea, but you say, "My kids love it, so I'm coming." That's having a heart for God's house. That's preparing for the next generation to continue the legacy of love and grace. We're preparing them. Right now, there's teachers back there preparing your kids to have a heart for God's house. The students are meeting down the road because we have no space here to meet anymore, so we're at another church down the road. 50, 60 young people, teenagers meeting down the road. What are they doing? They're preparing them to have a heart for God's house, because here's the reality, church. One day, you and I are gonna be gone. We're not gonna be sitting here. It's gonna be the next generation. And the generation after that, it's gonna be your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids that will carry on the legacy of faith and hope to the next generation. So I love what David did. He said, "I'm not just thinking about me. I'm thinking about what's next." Thank you, Dad, for thinking about what's next. Thank you. Thank you for showing me a love, and my brothers, a love for God's house. Now all of us actively involved in the house of God. Thank you for not making church a option, but a priority. It wasn't an option. Are we sleeping in? No, we going to God's. I have a heart for God's house because it was passed down to me from my mom and dad. This house exists because of the previous generation. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. We stand on the shoulders. I told your father that at the funeral. We stand on his shoulders. He began to weep and cry. For 30, 40, 50 years, he planted seeds in this community. We stand on the shoulders of those who have paved the way, who have planted seeds so we can now reap a harvest. They had it in their heart to build God's house, and they had it in their heart to build in their kids and their grandkids a love for the house of God. I love that my kids don't ever want to miss church. They're so excited to come to God's house. When they wake up on Sunday, my daughter said this morning, "Mommy, when you woke me up this morning, I thought it was a school day and I was sad, but when you told me we were going to church, I got excited." I said, "Oh man, we're doing something right. We're doing something. I don't want to have a church that my kids don't love to attend. What's the use if we're not raising up the next generation?" Is this okay today? I may get a little wound up, but forgive me. My screaming is passion. I'm not mad at anybody. Please tell your neighbor who's a guest. It's going to be okay. The white boy gets fired up. It takes a people to have a heart for God's house. Not just an individual, not just a person. It takes a people. The house of God is his expression of love here on earth. God uses his body to fulfill his purposes here on earth. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus said, "I'm going to be the general contractor on building my church, but I need some laborers to link up with me to build my church." Any builders in here? Any laborers in here? Any people that know that the general contractor, his purpose is to have the plans in front of him. And then he grabs the plumber. Okay, you're going to plumb it. And he grabs the electrician. You're going to run the wire. And he grabs the drywall. And he grabs those who lay carpet and trim. And he subs everything out. And that's what God does with us. He's building his church, but he needs us to work it. Hit your neighbor and say, "Work that thing." I'm not talking about that. Last night in the club, I'm talking about, get your mind right. He needs us to work it. He needs us to do something about his house. He needs us to have a heart for his house. We see that throughout the Bible that Jesus wants his church to grow. I believe anything with life will have growth. He tells us in the story, go out into the highways, the byways, go out into the streets and compel them to come into my house so that it may be filled. It may be filled. It may be filled, both numerically and spiritually. God wants his church to grow. Why? Because God wants his church to grow because he is for everyone. No one is exempt from his house. Every person has equal value to God. And if every person has equal value to God, then every person that walks through these doors has equal value to us. Come on now. Talking about God's house. This is why I love 1 Corinthians 12:27. Look at this. All of you together, someone say together, are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You are part of it. Someone say, "I'm a vital part of the body of Christ." One more time. I'm a vital part of the body of Christ. Now you may be a pinky toe, but you important. Go ahead and stub that pinky toe and listen to what the rest of your body tells you when you stub it. Now, if I believe in keeping toes covered up. Amen. Praise God. Anyway, if you wear sandals in the winter. Anyway, we got to talk later. Anyway, God bless you if you have sandals on. Every part is important. Every part together represent Christ. Body, every part. It kind of gives us the analogy of an orchestra. You ever been somewhere, watched on TV, 100-piece orchestra? 100-piece orchestra has all these different instruments with different shapes and different parts on them, played by different people, playing different sounds to fulfill its vision of a sound of togetherness. This is what Paul is saying. Hey, when you link up together with the body, you're making one united sound together when you have a heart for God's house. Purposes of God have always been about a people, not a person, about a team working in unity towards a common vision, about a people fulfilling their individual callings by connecting corporately with one another and like-minded individuals. Each of us has a role to play, and each role is vitally important. There is no small service to God. It all matters. It all matters. Some roles in the church are more visible and some are behind the scenes, but all are valuable. Truth be told, some of the most smallest hidden ministries are often the ones that make the biggest impact. You weren't here this week, but a group of people called the cleaning team prepared the whole facility, 16,000 square feet. They prepared the facility for you to be sitting here today. They prepared the nursery for your babies to be in a clean atmosphere. They prepared the kids' ministry so that everything is flowing right. They weren't seen, but vitally important. You didn't see it, but at 7:30 this morning and 7:30 every Sunday morning, people are preparing this house inside and outside for you to come, for your family to come, for you to enjoy your experience here. You didn't see it, but it happened. It happened. You don't see every Tuesday night this band rehearses for several hours. You didn't see that for 3 months they've been prepping for Christmas Eve services. You don't see it, but it's happening. It's happening behind the scenes. So truth be told, some of the ministries we don't see often make the biggest difference. You don't see, but there are people praying and interceding over you and your family every single week. We have people praying over these seats. Every single week, people praying over the kids' spaces. Every single week, people believing God for people to find freedom, to discover their purpose, and to make a difference. You don't see them praying, but it's happening. Every part is important. There is no correlation between size and significance. Every ministry matters because we are all dependent on each other in order to function. Did you hear me? There is no correlation between size and significance. Just because a team isn't big numerically doesn't mean it's not significant. Doesn't mean it's not significant. Every ministry, every part matters because we all need each other. We all need each other. I love what Paul says. Check this out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. Says how we thank God for who? You. Read these next three words. Because of you. One more time. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Now, let me give some context behind this text. Paul is in Philippi, and he's facing some strong opposition and persecution, so he couldn't go and visit the people of Thessalonica. Now remember Paul's calling and mission. He was a church planter. He would go into a community, go into a city, plant the church, teach them how to run the church, teach them the doctrine of the church, and then he would go to the next city and plant another church. And so we see his writings. He wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And those writings in the epistles are the churches that Paul planted. And so here we find Paul. He's in Philippi. He's having some trouble. He can't go to Thessalonica. So he sends his right-hand guy, Timothy, his spiritual son, Timothy, to go. And Timothy goes and checks on the church in Thessalonica. And he brings back this report to Paul. A good report, actually, a report that they were growing in their faith, even though they had adversity coming against them. A report that people were coming to know God, people were finding freedom. And then Paul pins our text, 1 Thessalonians 3:9, back to them after he got the report from Timothy. Are you following me? He pens back to them and he writes to them and he thanks them for not giving up in hard times. If you read the previous verses, you'll see it all. Read it on your own time. But he thanks them for not giving up in hard times. He thanks them for persevering. He thanks them for serving in the church, for helping people to come into this relationship with Christ. And then he says in verse 9, because of you, we have great joy as we enter into God's presence. Because you stood, because you kept serving, because you had a heart for God's house, people are experiencing the presence of an almighty God. This is what Paul's saying, and this is what I want to say to you today. If I were a church planter and I was writing to the church of Fuel, this is the letter I would pen to you. Are you ready for it? I would tell you a few things. I would tell you that all these numbers that we're about to read and see next week is all because of you. I would tell you that the restoration of marriages and families is all because of you. I would tell you that there are broken lives bringing their pieces to the foot of Jesus and being put back together, all because of you. I would tell you that addicts find a safe place to grow in their journey and to find their freedom. It's all because of you. I would tell you that the next generation of young people, our kids and students, are coming to know Jesus in a personal way, and it's all because of you. This is what I would tell you, that we're reaching our city with hope, that we're going out and ministering to those who are less fortunate through hope for the city, and it's all because of you. If I were writing a letter, if I were a church planter and I couldn't be here to speak, this is the letter I would pen to you. I would tell you it's because of you that we've seen 1,341 people come to Christ since January this year. It's because of you. It's because of you. I understand what someone's saying. Well, I just thought this was because of God. It is because of God, but it's because you were willing and obedient to be used by God. Because God is not here in human form. His Holy Spirit is here within us, and His Holy Spirit works through us to fulfill His vision and mission here on earth. So it's because of you. It's because of your open and willing hearts to say, God, use my time, talent, and my treasure to advance your vision here on earth. It's because of your faithfulness. It's because of you. Three ways God is changing lives because of you. If I were writing a letter, here's the three things I would tell you. Number one, because of your serving, God is changing lives. Because of your serving, God is changing lives. 2 Corinthians 9:13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. Because of the way you serve, people are praising God. Serving is an amazing way we can make a difference. It is a selfless act of honoring God as we serve others. Someone say serving. Serving. If you want selfishness to leak from your life, start serving. Did you hear that? Oh, you want your husband to hear that? I'll say it again. If you want selfishness to leak from your life, start serving somebody. Jesus said, the greatest in my kingdom are those who serve. Those who will put aside their own agenda and help somebody else. Because of your serving, God is changing lives. And I want to thank every person who serves on our dream team. Every person who serves in this house. Because here's the reality. Where the success shows up isn't where it starts. Because where the success shows up isn't where it starts. No. It started way before that. So you see this, but it started in the unseen world. It started when people who were willing to sacrifice and serve when nobody was looking. It started when people were willing to hit their knees even years and decades ago and pray over this house and pray over this community. It started there. You see, where you see success, where you see success, it isn't where it started. It started way before that. Way before that. See, that's why I tell my parking team and our welcome greeting team and the kids check-in, I tell them, hey, what you're doing is so important because you're the first impression when people drive onto this parking lot and come to this church for the first time. Do you know the statistics say this by the Barna Group? They say this, that within 7 minutes of a guest pulling onto your parking lot, they make their decision whether they're coming back to this church or not. So within 7 minutes, they encounter the parking team. You all better be smiling out there. Y'all better be dancing to the music I put up for you. They encounter the welcome team. Y'all better brush your teeth and have a mint in your mouth, honey. They encounter the check-in team. Y'all better be ready to run that computer. Come on now. They encounter maybe an usher, but they do not encounter the worship team. They do not encounter the preaching, and they've already made their decision whether they're coming back or not. So put a smile on your face like Joel Osteen. Come on, somebody. So the sermon starts before it starts. That's why you're so important. The sermon starts before it starts. That's why if you are team grumpy, you're not welcome on those teams. We have a spot for you. We have a team and they meet down in the basement. We love to have you a part of that if you're a frowner. But if you're happy, if you're excited, if you got that personality that's bubbly, oh, you better get on those teams. You better make somebody smile because they had the week from hell. You better let them know the joy of the Lord is your strength. You better let them know they walking into the greatest church in America. Well, I thought you would clap. This is my opinion. This is my opinion. Huh? So the sermon starts before it starts. People serving, people taking care of your kids right now so you can hear the word. Every week they do it faithfully. Every week. They're preparing lessons. They're preparing their rooms. They're preparing worship. They're praying over your kids so you can hear the word, so you can worship without little Johnny going like this. I gotta pee, mommy. Huh? They're in there right now cleaning. Yeah. All the stuff. Yeah. Making sure your baby's got a clean rear end when you go pick them up. They're making sure. They're serving. They're there. I know some of you may not have babies, but we have a nurse. They're there serving right now. Every week, faithfully. Every week. Ushers in here preparing this place. Every week, they're serving. The sermon starts before it starts. Sermon starts before it starts. And if you're new here, there is a time for you to sit and to receive and to pray if this is the house God is connecting you with. There's a time for you to kind of kick the tires to see, is this home for me and my family? But then there's also a time for you to start serving. So if I'm your pastor, if you call this home, if Fuel Church is home, if I'm your pastor, then let me nudge you a little bit. Let me nudge you a little bit. I do that often. Let me nudge you and tell you, God needs you serving in his house. Let me tell you, one of the greatest differences you can make in your life is to start serving. Right. Let me tell you, there's a gift in you. There's a talent in you. Oh, it may not be on the stage, and that's okay, because every part is equally important. Because here's the reality. If the cleaners didn't prepare when they did their unseen act of service, then you would be sitting in seats that were dirty. You would be going into restrooms that didn't have the trash empty. Stuff would stink, right? If you didn't have nursery workers in there, there'd be babies crying all over this place. I couldn't communicate the gospel properly for you to receive it. Every part is equally important. We see just the seen parts, but the unseen parts are so important. So my challenge to you, one of our core values is we are not spiritual consumers, we are spiritual contributors. Meaning, yes, there's a time for you to sit, there's a time for you to receive, but then there's a time for you to do something. The minimum being on the dream team is serving once a month. Some of you, we got to tell you to quit serving. You want to serve all three times every single Sunday. And we're like, hey, We know you love to serve, but you need to receive as well. You need to worship as well. You need to receive. But some of you are like, ah, sign me up for all of them. If you have church every week, I'll be there. Y'all are triple dippers. You're in a club all by itself. I'm getting shirts made for you next year. The triple dipper club. I'm telling you, those are my favorite people. You should see it after the third experience. Joel's got to tell everybody, hey, you got to leave. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You guys don't want to leave. And then we got people who've been here 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 years and ain't doing nothing. Let me say it as nice as I can with a real big smile. Shame on you. Shame on you for not serving your kids. People take care of your kids and you don't want to help. Shame on you for not volunteering for the nursery. Shame on you for not doing something in the house God has planted you in. Why am I talking so high? I don't know. Imagine this. Maybe God is saying, hey, I'm stopping some people from coming your way because you're not ready to handle it yet. You ever think about that? I think about it a lot. Like, are we ready to add a fourth experience? Nope. Ain't got enough people serving. So that's the only thing holding us up from reaching people that are far from God with the grace and hope found in Jesus? Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's not a money thing. The building's here. We got it. Right? It's people serving. Just think what would happen if you took a step. Well, I'm introverted. We got a team for you. I don't talk to people. We got a team where you ain't got to say nothing. You ain't got to say a word. Well, I'm extroverted. We got teams for you too. Huh? God needs you serving in his house. We have more impact when more people serve. Can I put the cookies on the bottom shelf for you? You can grab some milk too. I like milk with my cookies. Can I tell you that we can impact more people when more people serve? So if you just say, hey, I'll do once a month. I can do that. One service a month. That's it. If everybody did that, 1,300 people in our database called this place home right now. Just imagine if everybody said, I'll give one service, one experience a month. What would happen? Huh? I'll tell you what would happen. We'd be having like 6 worship experiences. And my staff would kill me. Anyway. How many of you are actively on the dream team right now? Raise your hand. Look at these hands up. 260 people actively serving on our dream team right now. Now, the average church size in America is 85 people. 260 are actively serving. Imagine if that number doubled. What would happen in our, what we could do in this community? Will you dream with me? Come on, church. Will you dream with me 11 o'clock? Will you let me nudge you? I can't wait to celebrate you this Friday. Dream Teamers, I'm gonna throw a party that you will never forget. I pulled out all the stops on this just for you because these numbers right here are because of you. We're gonna throw down. It is true, there will be Chick-fil-A in the house. So if you're a Dream Teamer, you're gonna get blessed with some Christian chicken. You don't even need to pray over it. It's already blessed. Sometimes I crack my own self up. I'll drink to that. It's water, not vodka. Some of you are like, sometimes I think it's vodka the way you talk. Not a drinker. Listen, it's because of your serving that God is changing lives. If I were to write you a letter, Fuel Church, if I wasn't here, this is what I'd say. I'd say thank you for serving. The second thing I'd say is this, it's because of your giving that God is changing lives. It's because of your giving. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every good way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, Fuel Church, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Oh, that's awesome. That people are going to be thanking God because they came to know God because you gave to God's house. Here's the reality. We could not do what we do without the faithful support of the people who call this place home. And let me just say thank you. Some of you are the most faithful tithers and givers that I've ever seen in my life. Week in and week out, you're faithful to tithe. You're faithful to bring your offering to God's house. And it's because of your giving that God is changing lives. It's because of your giving that God is changing lives. I want to personally thank you for your faithfulness. Every time you give, God is using you to make a difference. I really don't know of a greater cause to give towards than the local expression of God's love here on earth. That we get to partner with God to advance his mission here on earth. There's a lot of great causes, a lot of great organizations out there this time of year that you can give to, but I don't know of a greater cause than the local church. It is the hope of the world. We have the answer. It's not in politics. Come on now. It's found in Jesus. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ, and we have the answer. That's why I love that you guys represent this core value. We'll lead the way with irrational generosity. How many were here last week at the 11 o'clock? How many here were last week at the 11 o'clock? If you weren't here, let me tell you what happened. Spontaneous giving broke out in this church like I've never seen before. And you guys gave. You guys gave spontaneously. I was talking about it in my message. If you weren't here, you can grab the podcast and listen to it. But just in the middle of my message, as I'm talking about that point, how in the Bible it talks about giving spontaneously, I said to each and every one of you, how many would love to give spontaneously? Almost every hand was up. I said, how many would love to give if you had an opportunity? Every hand was up. I said, then get out some money in your pocket, in your wallet. Get it out. Take it out. And you all thought I was joking. I was being moved by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know I was going to do this in that 11 o'clock service, but I did. And there was a young girl who attends this church, who attends this church for years. And she would sit over in this section all the time, high out of her mind. Week after week, she would come, addicted, 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 addicted. And she said the reason she kept coming back is because of, I'm a crybaby, guys, I'm sorry. The reason is because she felt the love that this church embraced her even when she was high out of her mind. And we told her, we'll walk with you, we'll help you find freedom in Christ. I don't know about you, but I never want that to get old for us. Because there's churches who would not embrace those individuals. There's church, you've walked through them. You've been through their doors and they said no to you because of your economic status, because of the color of your skin, because of the stronghold you dealt with. They would not receive you. I never want us to be that church. May we always be a church that embraces the broken, the hurting, and the lost. That is the mission of Jesus Christ. Nothing less, nothing more. You guys came up and embraced this young girl who is now 7 months clean in a faith-based rehab down in Kentucky. She has three little daughters who she's been separated from because she's getting help. Her husband is getting help. He's 5 months clean. But a family member is watching the little girls. And you guys, by your generosity, gave her over $1,400. You did it. You did it. You did it. Little did I know. I talked to her a little bit, nothing in details before the service, but after the service, I heard more. Little did I know the people who were the caretakers for her three daughters while her and her husband are beginning help, they just lost their job. Little did we know, church, that they needed that for them little girls, not only to buy Christmas, because they said, I don't know how we're going to buy the girls Christmas. How are we going to do it? But then you showed up. Amen. You showed up. It's because of you. I'm going to be very honest with you. There's not another church in this planet that I will not want to be a part of and pastor than this church. I could be, and I don't say this boastfully, I could be anywhere. I'm not saying this boastfully. I've had opportunities to be with some of the greatest pastors in America, to be student pastors and associate pastors for the largest churches in this nation. God said, come back home to Kokomo. And I can't tell you how proud I am to be your pastor. How proud I am for what God is raising up in this community. It's because of you. It's truly because of you that those three girls are going to have a great Christmas. It's because of you. I heard a preacher say one time, two marks of a true Christian are giving and forgiving. You want your Christianity to be tested, start with giving and forgiving. The local church only exists because of the generous people who call this place home, that you enable God's lost kids to find their way back home. Because of your giving, God is changing lives. The third point, I'll close with this, because of your passion for people, God is changing lives. Because of your passion for people, God is changing lives. The way you express the love of God to people who walk through these doors is amazing. They feel it in the parking lot. They feel it when they walk through the doors. They say, something's different about this church. It's because of your passion for people, that you care for people, that you welcome new guests. Your passion to invite people out because you care about their eternal state. The way you talk about your church on social media. The way you express your passion for the house God has planted you on Facebook. It's your passion for people. The way you welcome and embrace the broken. People that don't look like you, act like you, smell like you, or make the money you do. The way you embrace them says it's your passion for people, that they matter to God, therefore they matter to me. I want it to be known that every person in our city, every single person within our community, that whether you are an addict or you're in recovery or you're taking steps towards it, that you have a home here at Fuel, that no matter if you believe or behave, you belong here. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Let it be said. Put it in the paper. Write a book about it. Tell them in this community they are welcome here. This is a hospital for the broken, not a country club for polo shirts. It's a hospital. People helping each other. So you're here today and you're either broken or you say, I'm willing to help broken people. I'm either broken or I've been broken and I know what it's like. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to give financially to help broken people. Those are two groups of people that are here. If you say, man, I'm not really in either of those categories, I would encourage you, my friend, with all sincerity, to go find you a church that you can be a part of and serve in and give towards. If not here, somewhere. Because the reality is, we need your seat for a broken person and for somebody who's willing to help broken people. We need it. This is not that church where you just sit and be comfortable. No, this is the church where we take the Bible to fact, where Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. We're going to do that. We're going to live for Christ. We're going to reach people. And it's our mission. Why? Because our time is short and heaven and hell are real. And people every second of every day are going to a Christless eternity. And we are on mission and our time is running out. We don't have time to play church, play games, or play politics. We're here to help the broken. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. If that's not in your heart and that's not your passion, find you a vision, a pastor you can link up to. Please, please, I ask you, please find that in your life. If you can't honestly say, I want to serve in this house and I want to give to this house. If you can't say that, then go find you a place you can. There's a lot of great church. I'll tell you who they are. I'll tell you the pastors. I'll tell you what time their services are. Just ask me, honestly. Because you need to be serving and you need to be giving towards a greater cause than yourself. It's where you'll find true fulfillment. It's where you'll make a difference in this life. It's where you'll make your mark so that you can hand off to the next generation a heart for God's house. Listen, I close with this. If I were writing you a letter to Fuel Church, it's the last thing I would say. This is all because of you. It wouldn't be a reality without your serving, without your giving, without your passion. This church is not built on me, built on a family. This is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and the people who call this place home. Everything you see in here, you paid for. No denomination paid for it. We don't get a check from somebody. No, you did. This book that you're going to get, you paid for it. The crackers your kid's going to get in class, you paid for it. The diaper that's going to be fresh on your baby's butt, you paid for it. It's because of you. Here's my last thought. It's this. This isn't us, but I will have to state it because I want us to always remember this. This isn't the majority of us, but I need to state this thought that when someone is drowning, pointing out the no swimming sign can wait. Help them. Help them. Put your finger away. This finger and, yeah, both of them. We don't point in this church. When someone is drowning, we don't point. You shouldn't have, you dirty, rotten sinner, you. You filthy addict. You this, you prostitute, you this. No, no, we don't point out the no swimming sign. We help them. That's what this church does. That's what this church does. So if you're about pointing, go to another church and point. We don't point here. It's rude. You ought to teach your kids that. It's rude. We don't point out the no swimming sign when someone's drowning. They don't need the sign pointed out. They need you to jump in the water and rescue them. Will you help us rescue our community that's drowning? Will you help us? Will you be a part of the biggest mission here on earth? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you say, I have a heart for God's house? Count me in, Pastor. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to give. I'm ready to be passionate to reach more people. Bow your heads.
Hey, thanks for listening today. And maybe you're out there and maybe you feel far from God today. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball. You've taken some wrong turns. You've messed up. I'm here to tell you about God's love for your life. You know, it's real and it's for you. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, God is there. His love is unconditional. And the Bible says that if you just confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you're saved. And I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And I just believe that if you say this prayer and mean it with your heart, the Bible says you're saved. And I want to encourage you to tell somebody about this decision. But just wherever you're at, just say, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Change me in Jesus' name. It's simple as that. And I encourage you, find a good local church. If you can get to Fuel Church, get here. God is moving. God is doing some great things. And the lives and families of the people that come here, but find a good church where you can grow in God. Until next time, God bless you. Have a great week.